Psalm 119, starting in verse 9.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all your riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes in your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Please be seated.
Thank you, Jacob. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, the power of your Holy Spirit, asking that you would enlighten your word to us, Father. Lord, we want to understand. We want to hear your instruction. And ultimately, as your children, we want to hear from you. And so, Father, would you please speak to us? That you would speak to me outside of my notes and my preparation. Speak through me to your people prophetically. I pray, Lord God, that for this to happen, we need your spirit here. And so we submit to your will and your ways and ask and plead for your Holy Spirit to come and fill this place and fill the hearts and minds of your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are in a series right now called Pause. We are walking through various psalms as we have been going through this summer series. And it has been a somewhat, I'll say, relaxing series, though I would say one of our congregants made fun of me last week. He goes, I got a kick out of the fact that you said it was supposed to be kind of a pause, a relaxing series, and you've been so serious. That is true. I'm just trying to be led by the Spirit here, but it is true. We have had some hard subjects, so I'm going to try, by the grace of God, to have a little more fun today, to just kind of breathe. Usually in this series, I have been wearing a t-shirt, my favorite jeans, and some Chucks, just to show that it's when you're comfortable, it means you feel safe. And that's what we've been trying to represent as we've just kind of taking a break during the summer. I wore a colored shirt because we had a child dedication. I knew I was going to get my picture taken. So there you go. Now, the Psalms are to be read as a book. I think oftentimes we think that it's just these random songs, but there is a continuity and there is a reflection as we read starting from Psalm 1 all the way through. And really, Psalm 1 and 2 set the entire precedence for each or the entire book of Psalms. And so Psalm 1 speaks of the Word, which is the Torah. Psalm 2 speaks of our Savior, the Messiah. And throughout all the Psalms, you have this thread that kind of runs through where it talks about the Torah. And it reminds us what we looked at last week. The only Psalm of Moses that we know of was a reminder right as it started book 4, I believe, that, hey, don't forget about the covenant. Don't forget about the promises. Don't forget that God has set us free and that someone is coming. And that's what kind of set that precedence. In book 3, there was a yearning and a lament for a coming of the Messiah, a coming of the Savior. And then in book 4, which is, again, the Psalms are broken up into 5 books. In book 4, it was a, hey, don't forget about Moses. Don't forget about the things that happened in the wilderness and how the children of Israel were set free. And so then we have Psalm 119. It is 22 sections representing every letter of the Hebrew alphabet with 8 verses in each. So that makes 176 verses, one of the longest chapters in the Bible. And only 7 out of the 176 verses do not explicitly mention God's word. So basically what it's saying is God's word. Verse 2, God's word. Verse 3, God's word. Do I need to go through all 169? Or do you get it? All right, so it's a continual God's word, God's word, God's word. Hey, don't forget God's word. This is important, God's word. And the words that it uses to point to that is the word law, which means God's instruction. The word testimonies, which means what God testifies to be his will. The word precept, which is an appointed charge. The word statutes, which are God's set boundaries. The word commandment, which is self-explanatory, it's God's commands. God's rules, what is divinely right in God's word, what God says. What God says. And so all throughout the entire chapter, it is those words being rotated throughout the entire alphabet, basically saying everything about who God is about what he has said, God's word. And so my hope is the encouragement will be to come back to this. It's very simple. To just simply, if you call yourself a Christian, then pick up the book. It's that simple. If you call yourself a Christian, then pick up the book. And my hope is to I'll be able to encourage you towards that so that tomorrow morning or tonight or this afternoon when you get home and tomorrow morning when you wake up and then on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, you become a person of the word, a person of the word. Even the Westminster Catechism picks this up. A catechism is a teaching that has been used throughout the centuries, and it is a Reformed teaching. And so it asks a question and then gives an answer. Question one is, what is the chief purpose for which man is made? In other words, what is man's actual purpose? And the answer is, the chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So we talk about big picture purpose. Why were we created? To glorify God. But just to glorify God? No. To enjoy him as well. And then question two. What rule has God given to direct us how to glorify and enjoy him? What rule has God given for us to figure out how to glorify and enjoy him? The word of God. This is the answer. The word of God, which consists of the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how to glorify and enjoy him. This is the word. And which is interesting. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I just want to have a conversation. This isn't for all the Christians to then just kind of check out. Some of you here, and even if you would, you know, mark Christian on the voting poll, you're just not sure, so you're still kind of kicking the tires of faith. And especially when it comes to the word of God, you're not really like there in believing every single word as inspired. You may have some doubts. You may have some frustrations. I know I do when I read God's word. I mean, if we're just being honest, which has been another huge part of this series, is just to be really honest. How many of you have read God's word and just went, what? Anyone? Just so surprised. Like, all these hard things, like, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. It's like, what? What does that even mean? And the really hard things when the word of God says that God reminds the children of Israel to kill even the children. What do you do with that? Easy, guys, easy. To wipe out nations when they were taking over the land. There's all kinds of things in the Bible that just make you go, what? I don't understand. And so what I want to do is draw us to this point where hopefully all of us can go, I want to at least try. I want to at least try. I want to pick up this book and start reading it again. Because here's my fear. And now, so it's easy for me. Because I get paid to do this. I get paid to open up the Bible and read it. Basically. Right? Yes. The answer is yes, I do. I get paid for other things as well. But one of my main jobs is to preach the word. To stay faithful to the scriptures. Which means that one of my main jobs is to be in the scriptures. But if I'm being honest, outside of that, do you, as people that don't get paid to open up the scriptures, read the word? Do you open up the book? And trust me, I'm not the guilt guy, especially for those of you that are visiting. I'm not looking to just apply a bunch of guilt on you so that you then go, man, I gotta read my Bible. That'll last a week or two, maybe. I don't want to do that. I want to encourage you to this end. The creator of all things, the one that in the very beginning when there was nothing said, let there be light. And what happened, church? There was light. When he would just with a word speak and things and mountains would move. And with a word created all the things that we see and all the things that are around us, including humanity, he created. That God, that powerful, almighty God has spoken. And the crazy thing is that he spoke to people through sinners, just like me and you, and brought about a perfect word for us to enjoy. God has spoken. How many of us would love to just hear from Jesus? Right? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you were in your quiet time and you're just sitting there and it's like, Lord, please. And he just shows up, just comes in. Can I help you, son? I don't know how he would sound or what he would say, but I'm assuming he would be very kind and filled with light and, you know, those kind of things, right? But how awesome would it be to just finally, once and for all, know that you're being listened to? And then you just sit in anticipation of what he might say. Now imagine you're in that moment where you have decided to pray. And particularly, can you imagine if you're here and you're not a believer, and after this sermon, you go and get by yourself, and you're just like, Jesus, if you're real, would you show up? And then, boom, he like shows up. That would be awesome. I'll pray for it. You never know. But let's talk afterwards in case that does happen. So, and then he would, imagine what he might say. In fact, let's just do that now. Close your eyes, just for kicks and giggles. If you are so willing, close your eyes. And picture you're looking at Jesus. Now just imagine, what would he say to you? Is he disappointed? Is he mad? Is he happy to see you? Does he just hug you? Tell you that he loves you? Go ahead and open your eyes. One of the great things about being a Christian is we have a book. Now, there's other religions that have books, that's true. But this book, tried and true, through history and the findings of history, whether that be archaeology and all the way through, there have been time and time and time again men that have come to try to disprove this Bible. And what usually happens? I know many that have become Christians, most if they're honest. Because time and time again, this Bible has made itself to be known to be true, to be the actual word of God. And so that desire to want to hear from God, it's right here. And so let us then, as Christians, open up the word and read and hear from Jesus and actually hear. Verse, how can a young man keep his ear? By guarding it according to your word. The reason why I had my son, Jacob, read the scripture is, one, he's a young man, and we had a cool, even on the way over here, I had a good conversation about what does it look like for a man to keep his way pure by guarding it according to your word. And so we talked about this idea that there is a guard there, that there's almost like a wall that to keep us safe. And then Jacob says, yeah, that's important because there's a lot of sin around. True. And he made it sound like sin was everywhere. And then we were like going down the road like, oh, I got a sin in my eye. Like that. Oops. Okay, we went on, but I'll stop. And so, because it just got silly. So, but how can a young man keep his way pure? Now, let's go back to this. The very God of the universe has spoken all things into his existence and has granted us a book to know his will and his ways. And then it asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? That word pure there is not just pure as in clean, it's pure as in a track, or a purity as in a clarity of a direction to live and go. And I love that it says young man, because we all need, in a certain degree, direction. But that's what it's saying here. How can a young man know which way to live, how to live his life? What kind of road he's supposed to walk down, and how's he supposed to walk down it? Well, it says right here in the Word of God, by guarding it, by keeping it, the life, his direction, in the Word. With my whole heart I seek you, verse 10, let me not wander from your commandments. Man, if you don't hear anything, hear this. All we need as a church and as a city is a few people that can say this is true about them. With your whole heart, you're seeking God. With everything. The very thing that we commanded Wilford, or that we encouraged Wilford and Saucy to do as parents. In Deuteronomy 6:4, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Like that kind of love. And then teach your children that kind of love. Like that's what you're called to do as a people. But it starts with this great, hey, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's you. Now, like when we went through Psalm 42, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands. Can this be true about just like a few of us? Amen. Like just, I mean, we strive and try for so many different things. And again, I'm not trying to lay on the guilt. But let's realign ourselves. Let's realign ourselves to the Word. So that with our whole hearts, we seek God. What better thing, what greater thing to align ourselves with what God has for you? Because that's the point, right? That's the illogical thing, is that there's a God who created everything and knows exactly what's best for us and has provided a book with guidelines and guards to live the life we were called to live. And we're like, eh, I'll find my own way. But it's right there. It's right there. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I love this because stored up is like that meditational, like you just know it. When's the last time you all memorized scripture? A few of you guys are looking away. I see it. Oh, man. Awanas. How long has it been since you've been in Awanas? 32 years? Like, right? Like, memorize scripture, not so that you get a lollipop, because that's why we did it when we were kids, right? Scripture memorization and racing through the Bible and all that stuff, and like it's not for that reason. It's so that when you're in that spot, and my son Jacob gets in that spot where temptation, as he said, sin is everywhere. And it's just being kind of flung around, and there's just sin everywhere. And he's in that spot where he has to make a decision on what to do. And he remembers this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. What does God's word say right now? Okay. And then we begin to walk. And here's the encouragement. You guys know this song. I got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Yeah, where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Okay, pretty good. The Bible talks about every single time we walk in obedience, there's a deep joy that comes out of a well in our souls. That as we are believers in Jesus Christ. Because, as we talked about a few weeks ago, or last week, the already but not yet, that we have already been justified before a holy God through faith in Jesus Christ. That based on our faith in Jesus Christ, on his life, death, and resurrection, according to these scriptures, we then have been given peace with God, that we have a love from God. And when God calls down, like when he was talking to Jesus at the baptism, he says, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." That same proclamation is over us because we are covered in his life. That's where we get the term covered by his blood, because we're covered in his life. And so when God sees us, he sees us through the purity of the life of Jesus Christ. It's a righteousness that's not our own. So we have been justified. And now the process is sanctification. We begin to walk that out. So once we know that, once we know that justification, once we know that gospel story, what then happens? We begin to walk it, and that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We just begin to walk. It's so simple. There's such a simplicity to it that we think it's too much and it's too hard. So we don't. There's got to be more, right? No. It's that simple. You guys, there's a video out by a famous preacher named Francis Chan. And he talked about Simon Says. So we'll play a quick game because some of you guys are looking a little tired this morning. Simon Says, raise your right hand. Come on, everybody in. It's church, it's cool. Simon Says, raise your left hand. Lower your right hand. Really? Simon didn't say. All right, guys, lower your hands. Simon Says, lower your hands. Wow, legalists. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Why does following Jesus have to be any more complicated than that? Jesus says. And what the Francis Chan, I love his video, he goes and talks about how we just complicate it. If Jesus says, like, so for instance, he talks about if he tells his daughter to clean his room. And then a little while later, his daughter, did you clean your room? And she says, well, me and a few friends got together and talked about what it would look like to clean my room. And we took the idea of cleaning in the Greek and we parsed it out. And it was amazing. And we studied the concept of cleaning my room. And I think we fully understand, Dad, what it means to clean my room. And what is a dad going to say? Did you clean your room? Well, not yet. Go clean your room. And so oftentimes we do the same thing. We take the concepts of the Bible and what Jesus says when he says stuff like, treat others like you want to be treated, which is the classic golden rule. Hey, treat others like you want to be treated. Well, let's have a Bible study about it. Let's look at those words in the Greek. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a Bible study, and there's nothing wrong with parsing it in the Greek. But you do all the study and the parsing. Parsing means to look and examine the words in the Greek, which is the original language that it was written in the New Testament. You take those things, and that study is so that you can better live it out. But if you never live it out, you're like the daughter who never cleaned her room. Jesus says some very simple things. Love God. What do all the commands fall underneath? Love God and love your neighbor. Every single command in the scripture falls, according to Jesus, under those two commands. Love God. Well, what does it look like to love God? I don't know. Let's have a Bible study and parse it in the Greek. What does it look like to just love God? Don't make it any harder than it is. Just love God. Have an affection for your creator. That's it. Well, what does it look like to live out that love? Obedience. You read something in the scriptures and you follow it. And so instead of going through like all the different commands, because there's hundreds of commands in the New Testament, I thought about just trying to hit a bunch of them, but that's not going to work. I'm just going to assume that the Holy Spirit is here right now, and he's showing you what commands that you just need to simply walk in. Like, what is it that you know that you're not actually doing? The Great Commission's a good one. Let's just go there. Go out into all the world, making disciples. How's that working for you? Are you investing in somebody? Are you discipling somebody? Are you preaching the gospel? We're ambassadors for Christ. We have a message to proclaim. Are you proclaiming the good word of Jesus Christ to anybody? Again, not guilt, but this. Come back to this, because I can start. I'm feeling the weight, and I'm not. I got the joy down in my heart. When we walk in these things, there's a joy that begins to well up in us. It comes from this idea of shalom, where we spend a lot of time in the book of Colossians just looking at grace, an unmerited love from God, and peace, which is the way things ought to be. God knows the way to live for you. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, which then leads to worship. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I will declare all the rules of your mouth. What is that talking about? It's talking about worship and then sharing with people the testimony of what it looks like to be loved by a loving God. It's not to then just take your rules and regulations and apply it to everyone around you. It's to share your life, to share the things that God has done. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as in much and in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. There's so much to say. But in the way of your testimonies, I delight. It's worth more than money to meditate on the words of the Lord and fix your eyes and delight in the statutes and the directions that God has. Let's do this, church. Let's just start reading the word. It's that simple. Just open up the book and start reading. Like after service today, go home after lunch, because we're going to have an awesome lunch that is being provided for by Wolford and Saucy, correct? That's the part of it anyway, for the child dedication. He's probably embarrassed that I said that, so. But join us for lunch in celebration of the dedication of their new baby girl. And then go home and read the word and get into it. And then once you read it, just do what it says. Don't make it any more complicated than that. And if you're struggling with what it says, or I don't know how to live that out, then give me a call. Like, I would love those calls. Hey, the Bible said this. What do I do with that? Oh, man, come on down. Let's have lunch. I live for that stuff. But I only have like 1 or 2 hours a week to do it. I'm just kidding. I will open my entire day up for this kind of stuff. Let me end with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, according to John chapter 1, verse 1. Ultimately, Jesus has come as the expressed image of who God is, known as the Word. A word is an expression of a person, and Jesus comes as the expression of who God is, as the second member of the Trinity. And he comes and he lives this life for us. This is important. Please don't lose me on this, because this is for Christians too. Jesus walked by the precepts, the laws, the testimonies, and the word, and the rules, every single one of them perfectly, absolutely perfectly, every single time. He never sinned or veered away from these rules once. And he did that so we don't have to, we get to. As he obeyed every single one of them, he did that. He came down to this earth because he knew we couldn't, church. He knew we couldn't actually fulfill the law. And that's the only way to God. It's the only way to be able to get to who God is, to fulfill the law perfectly, never making one mistake. Why? It's a good question. The gates aren't there to keep people out. The gates on heaven, the heaven's doors aren't there to keep people out. They're to keep sin out. And we have a sin issue. As Jacob said, sin's everywhere. It's all around. But Jesus has provided a way for our sin to be removed and his righteousness granted to us because he fulfilled the law for us and then gave us that record. So now when we live into the law of God and the precepts and the testimonies of God, we then have a joy in our lives that we were meant to have. And it's deep. Where is it? Down in my heart. Yeah, down in my heart. If you're here and you're not a Christian, this is an invitation for you to not only get into heaven, but to be able to fulfill the life that you were called to live. If you are a Christian here, this is an invitation for you to realign your life according to his word. Now God's people said, amen. If I could have the worship band come up. We have a few songs for you. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have granted us a way that you not only hear us right now, but you have blessed us with your spirit so that we can walk in obedience to your word and living in this life, this grandeur of joy, with a joy and a peace so deep and so within our souls that no outward situation can take it away. That ultimately, because of you, nothing can steal my joy. And my experiential side of that joy comes with me walking in obedience to your word. So, Lord God, I pray for that. I pray, Lord God, that all of us would walk and be able to experience your joy as we obey your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name.